Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. I'm Helen Corsi Cadmore, an award-winning business growth specialist, coach and consultant, and a mum to twin girls. My podcast is about having honest conversations with busy, ambitious females about growing your business to have a better balanced life and, of course, avoiding burnout. If you enjoy this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Hello and welcome to this episode of Fabulous and Female. Today I am delighted to welcome the very, very smiley Nikki Giant. Welcome Nikki to Fabulous and Female.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Nikki is an author, a social entrepreneur and the founder of the Spark Movement, an organization that aims to support the next generation to reach their potential. Nikki hosts the Spark Sessions for Changemakers events. These are held on a bi-monthly basis to bring together people who really want to make a difference to the world, inspiring a community of changemakers to put their purpose and passion into action. She is also the founder of the Girl Lab, a consultancy agency aimed at supporting girl-focused and gender equality nonprofits. And she is the member of the advisory panel for the Children's Commissioner for Wales. Previously, she was head of girls' rights for global children's charity Plan International UK. Amazing. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me today. And also, Nikki is a fellow Welshie. So I do just like to big up the Welsh people I have on the show.
Very important.
So it is very important, yes. So Nikki, that was a very structured, you know, professional intro to you. I'd love to know just a little bit more about Nikki Giant on a personal level as well. So over to you.
Great. I mean, just hearing that makes me feel a bit tired. No wonder I feel so exhausted. It feels like a lot. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's absolutely an honour to be here. So I guess on a personal level, I live in South Wales, same as you, in a little town by the sea just outside of Cardiff. I'm born and bred in Wales, but I've lived in a few different places, including a stint in America and in London as well while I was working for Plan International. But really glad to be back in Wales. There's definitely a certain energy in Wales, and I feel like people, particularly people in business and social enterprise, really want to support each other, which I think is really important to me.
Definitely. Amazing. So that's still Nikki, the business person. I love to talk to my guests about Nikki, the non-business person. So I'm actually going to change this up a bit. I'm going to do a bit of quick fire question. I've never done this before. Why not? It's my podcast, right? So, right. Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Definitely salt and vinegar. That's not even a question.
Yes. Coffee or tea?
Coffee all day. Black strong. Keep it coming.
Oh, black strong. Okay. Dark or milk?
Chocolate. Definitely dark.
Yes, I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you. Okay, right. Let's do this one. Roses or tulips?
I'm more of a tulip kind of girl. I'll take whatever. Anything
just,
I could get.
Just showing Nikki for those adorable. Who are listening. Just got a bunch of tulips on my desk. Okay, and sunshine or snow?
Definitely sunshine. I love the spring, summer. I hate the winter. And this rain is driving me nuts.
Driving me insane.
I need a holiday somewhere.
Oh my goodness. I was just talking to somebody before I came on about a friend of mine who's got twins, who is on holiday at the moment. And I saw a lovely picture and she just looked like she was in the Caribbean. And I was just looking out the window and went, it's still raining here.
The third month straight. I know. It just have rain.
It is. Right. There we go. So a little bit more about get to know you, which is what I love. Right. Let's go back to the Spark Movement. So let's chat a little bit about this. We got introduced by a mutual connection, very randomly actually. The lovely Dan sent me a message saying, you need to talk to Nikki, because I told her about you and your podcast and all of that. Anyway, we had a bit of a chat and I was like, yeah, actually Nikki is right on my radar for somebody that I want to come on here. So Yeah, talk to me about the Spark movement. What is it exactly?
So at the moment, I guess I would call it my passion project, and I'm really trying to keep it like that, because sometimes when you put all your attention on something, it becomes a big focus and you feel like you've got to monetize it and make it your
Yeah.
whole life. And so I'm in that funny space right now where this is definitely my passion, but it's actually gaining momentum. So it's a funny space to be in, but really exciting. And the whole idea of the Spark came about because I've worked with children and young people for my whole career since I was about 20, 21 probably.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit, like I had some space to actually reflect for the
Yeah.
first time in a long
First
time,
time, yeah.
which is, useful. And I started to think about what I felt that children needed, particularly with the pandemic and the impact of that. But even before that, I'd spent so much of my time working in schools and seeing what's happening to our young people, and it's really worrying.
Yeah.
And I had this sort of sense that I wanted to create something that was a bit of, a bit of a movement, a coming together of people to support the next generation. And that's what the Spark is all about. So for me, it's about connecting children and young people to that spark within them. So what is the thing that, lights them up? And
Yeah.
in my experience of working with children in schools, there was a definite sort of moment where I would see almost that light go out in a lot of kids' eyes,
So
particularly
sad.
that kind of jump from primary to secondary school.
Was going to say, is there a particular
Yeah.
age that you saw that more? Yeah,
And I'm
okay.
not, it's not every single child. It's
No.
it depends on their circumstances, of course, but COVID exacerbated all of that as well. And so for me, it's like, how can we connect kids to who they really are? But by doing that, we as adults need to connect to who we really are. So
Yeah.
this idea of bringing together people who are change makers, who want to make a difference in the world, whether that's about kids or not, for me, it's about that legacy for the next generation, whatever it is people are
Yeah.
doing.
Yeah.
So that's where the idea for a kind of the change maker events came, and the mutual connections that we've got, just bringing people together to say, we know things are not working. What can we do differently to
Yeah.
help the next generation? That's what it is in a
I
nutshell.
love it. I absolutely love it. And we've spoke about it before, and I was so interested to hear. Obviously, I've got young girls, they're about to turn 4, got twins, and it does make me think that what are we doing, or what can we do to really support, like you said, the next generation? And I think I've got a niece who is going to be 10 soon, and think when I think about the bits that she missed out in COVID as well, what impact does that really have on children in that space? And I'd love to know in your, because I haven't been to a session yet, I'm hoping to come to the next one. What sort of things are coming out for other people?
I think it's a real mixture. I mean, it tends to attract, these events attract a certain type of person, which is really interesting. It's by accident. And they are people who are generally sort of positive, really motivated. They're not wanting to talk about loads and loads of problems, but
Yeah.
they're also really honest and open about the fact that they've had experiences in their life that have been difficult for them. Some
Yeah.
people talk about the traumas that they've been through, but how they're using that as kind of fuel. And
Yeah.
obviously that depends on the person. It's not always possible, and that does take time. But there's a real sense of people using difficult experiences that they've had to help others in some way.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the main thing that's sort of coming out of this, actually, is it doesn't really matter what people are focused on, whether it's mental health or homelessness or the climate or what have you. What it is behind that, I guess, is the kind of energy to make a difference, to help others, to be that positive force in the world, to be authentic and to lead with integrity as well. That's
Yeah.
what I'm seeing a lot.
Yeah.
So these events are not the sort of, here's my business card kind of
Oh,
business
good.
networking.
Oh,
Yeah.
God. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Me too.
Who
And
enjoys those
I
now,
guess
really?
somebody does. I don't know. It's not me. And I never have. And I used to
No.
attend a lot of things like that sort of
Oh.
pre-COVID,
Yeah.
and felt really uncomfortable, actually. I felt like that wasn't a space for me. I wasn't valued. I didn't have anything to offer.
Yeah.
Nobody really wanted my business card. I didn't want to give it to anyone. It would just be really awkward. So
Yeah.
this is kind of like the antithesis to that, and just creating a space where people can make
Make
connections and a bit of a
connections.
community. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that because if somebody or you know the people who come to the events are comfortable in talking about previous traumas or things that have to help them, then that's great. But if they're not, they can just be there to listen as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And to take things in and, you know, and do things in their own way, do things in the background. They don't have to be, I guess, people that are going to come and shout out about what's helped them.
A really good point. And there has to be something for everybody. I was thinking actually this week that it's a perfect balance for people who are really introverted and really extroverted. And I'm probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I think you can sit at the back, you can listen to these amazing speakers, you can be inspired, you can have a chat to the person next to you if you feel comfortable to, you don't have to. Or you can jump up, take to the floor, talk about what you're doing, you know, network the heck out of it. There's space for all of that.
Options, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love that because I always say I'm an introvert, but actually I think I'm kind of in the middle because my listeners will know, and I'm sure Nikki you'll get to know this as our relationship blossoms, I'm gonna say. But it's if I am passionate about something, oh my goodness, like the people will say, shut up, pal, you know, stop talking. But otherwise, you'll find me at the back, like you said, I'll be the one that just sits next to someone and just listens. But if I'm really passionate about something, and when we first met, we were talking, I think I mentioned to you about my fertility journey and how, like, in education, in schools, there just wasn't anything. You know, I didn't realise that body clocks tick as you get older and, you know, all the things that can happen to a woman or does happen. And now I'm fully menopausal at 42, like all of these things that, God, we go through so much.
Oh my gosh. Women. Never ending, is it?
And I haven't brought you on to talk about that. But yeah, I think it's the education, isn't it, that's needed around. And I just love it. And I think it's a great space for people to come in and see, you know, where can we be that change? Yeah. And why are we waiting for other people to do that?
Right. Because I guess, you know, looking at the state of the world, and I don't want to be negative, but it does feel like things are a little bit...
It's not great, is it? Right. Come on. We can be as positive as we want, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot going
on. We need to be realistic as well. But exactly. I think you're right. I think we've all become a bit disillusioned with that waiting for somebody in a position of power and influence to make the change. And actually, we're seeing more and more that, you know, a lot of our leaders are really self-serving and they don't have, you know, the best interests at heart of the general people.
Yeah.
And so I think more and more people feel that actually, you know, what am I going to do? How can I respond? And it can be in really small ways. And I think that's as well, I think that's an important point to mention that, you know, we have these amazing change makers who come and present at these events, and some of them have been working in that space for years, which is fantastic. But it's also about, you know, just being that on an everyday basis, like smiling at people in the street or saying hello or, you know, in a really small way. Right.
Yeah.
But what a difference that makes.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, I've got a dog, and whenever I go out with him on a walk, if I see somebody, I'm probably that annoying person that's like, morning, because people just look down, you know, and they're just looking down and rather looking up and looking around. And I just say, well, that, even if that person doesn't need that hello or that smile right now, they might think about that later on and think, oh, well, that lady was nice for that dog. You know, she gave me a hello or a smile. They might tell somebody that's what that person did. So, yeah, it's the small things, isn't it? What are the small things do you think we could do as change makers to make things bigger? Just think, is there anything?
I guess there's lots of things that we can do. And I suppose it depends on what your passion is and where your area of focus is. But I suppose it sounds a bit cliche, but it is about being that change.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I've done a lot of work with girls and young women over the years, a lot of work on gender and gender stereotypes. So for me, I have to be really clear about the language that I use when I refer to kind of the girls that I work with, or not kind of accidentally repeating those stereotypes, you know, just thinking about those kind of things. But it could be about, spreading compliments. It could be a bit about the way that I speak about myself in company with others. Because actually that sets a tone, particularly if you have children in your life. I think that is so important, isn't it? And I think as well, and this happens a lot in Wales particularly, which is so lovely, but just being that support for other business owners or social entrepreneurs or people who are trying to do something good in the world. So like even just sharing something on social media or telling somebody about something that someone's doing, like that has a huge impact.
Huge impact,
Massive.
Isn't it? Huge impact. And I love that. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And for those that celebrate, you know, happy Valentine's Day. And for those that don't, that's fine as well. And I was like, you know what? I wanted to put a post up just to say to all the people that I connect with, just to say how amazing I think you are. And I started tagging and I thought, I can't tag all these people. It's not going to let me. So I thought, there's so many people that I could, you know, tag their businesses in, tag them, you know, their personal profiles in, just thinking how amazing that the small things they're doing. And I just thought, I can't. I'll be here all day. And I don't even know what the limit is as how many people you tag. So I just did a generic, I love you all.
A blanket love. That's
it's like, I love what you're doing. It's so interesting. So that's obviously your passion project. And it's let's talk about that a little bit if you don't mind. Because lots of people have passion projects and, you know, think, oh, can I monetize it? Or do I really want to monetize? Because you can lose the love, can't you?
Yeah.
If you start to like overwork it, I guess. So yeah, are you in that place where you really want to keep it?
It's such a tricky balance. I don't know. I definitely don't feel like I'm doing it that successfully right now because I go through these phases where I'm super excited about it and I love it and I can't wait to sort of write that blog post or share something or organize these events. And then it's like, oh gosh, I've spent a lot of time this month doing this and I haven't earned a penny from it because it's not, you know, right now my job. And then that becomes a bit demoralizing. And then, you know, the hate, love, hate relationship begins.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've got an answer to that. I suppose for me, it's about striking that balance between knowing that the bills are being paid elsewhere. So I can carve off some time.
Yes.
But making it my sort of joy time. Like, I'm just going to enjoy this. It doesn't matter if, you know, dozens of people like the post on Facebook or, you know, whatever it might be. But keeping that in mind, because as soon as I start to kind of tip into, well, why aren't people retweeting this? Or, you know, I need
why
to,
someone not liking it?
Gosh, that just sucks the joy out of it. So
it does.
I think, you know, particularly when something's in its infancy, if you can strike the balance with having, you know, income coming in elsewhere, so it doesn't have to be about the money. But also, I guess at the same time, it's no bad thing to be earning money from something you're passionate about. And that's where I hope to get to at the end.
Yeah.
Because I think we have this funny dynamic, particularly in this country, about, you know, your work and your earning is the thing you need to slog away at. And the things that you love are separate, which makes no sense.
It's not, is it? I love that. Yeah. Thank you for being so honest on that. Because like, you're right there. It's one of those things that, you know, we do all this amazing work for no return. From a joy return, yes, but from a financial return. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because they think that because they're doing something that's taking a lot of their energy, a lot of their time, they need to be remunerated from it. Actually, you don't. If it's a real joy. And who's to say if it's online you won't, but right now you're going to keep it as your passion project and see where it goes. Yeah,
that's the idea.
Okay.
we'll see
come back in a year or so.
Be a millionaire.
And there's nothing wrong with that though, is there? There's nothing wrong with earning money from your energy and time spent on something. So
For sure.
Just a caveat that. Okay, let's talk about the Girl Lab. So this is where the money comes from, right?
Well, some of it, yeah. But again, you know, it's my own business, so it's me driving the kind of marketing and making the connections to bring in the work. So yeah, it's also striking that that balance there as well sometimes. But yeah, the Girl Lab is about supporting organizations that are girl focused. And
Okay.
when I started my work with girls and young women, so I used to run a social enterprise that was based in South Wales, doing lots of work with schools, and the work with girls just happened quite organically. Felt there was a need there. And so I used to do a lot of direct work, particularly with teenage girls.
Okay.
And now it's about kind of moving up a stage, really. So how can I support organizations that are girl focused? And when I was doing that work, there were very few, like it just wasn't a thing. And people didn't really talk about sort of gender equality in terms of girls and young women.
No.
Even talking about gender equality in itself,
wasn't even it.
Not a huge focus on that.
No. When did you start that, Nikki? When did you start the Girl Lab?
So the Girl Lab was founded in 2020. So
okay.
I quit my job mid-pandemic, which turns out, smart move. Thought it was all done and over with. And I thought I'll strike out on my own. Actually, I've been very lucky it's worked out. So it was October 2020 that I sort of launched it. It takes many years, though, doesn't it, to kind of build some momentum.
So
the focus is about helping organisations that are girl-focused with strategy or training or just
Amazing.
Various consultancy projects.
Something that you just mentioned about it takes time to build. What is it that you found challenging where there's opportunities to build in that space? Because what are we now, 3 years since you've launched that?
Yeah,
3 years,
probably a
isn't
bit
it?
More,
yeah.
I guess
Being
in terms,
honest now,
yeah,
let's be candid.
Oh gosh. I suppose it's about connecting with the people who care about the things that you care about. And it's hard because on the one hand, you think, well, surely everyone gets this. Surely everybody wants, girls to have rights and, to live in a gender equal society. And it turns out not everybody does.
Not everybody does. No.
But even there's a spectrum there, isn't there? Because some people will totally get with that and resonate it with it on a personal level, but it's not relevant in a professional sense.
Yeah.
And I think that was the difficult thing coming out of COVID as well, is obviously, all children, young people needed support. And I think for a lot of schools or organisations, working just with girls or putting that focus on girls is challenging. And actually, we're seeing a bigger rise now in the need for support for boys and young men, which is a whole sort of separate issue. But
What are the sort of main challenges that are coming out? Can you share any of those?
In terms of for girls?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so much. I think still sort of the stereotypes that probably, our grandmothers faced and our mothers and we faced, they're very much alive and kicking. Like nothing much has moved on in terms of the kind of perceptions about gender roles, really, even though it might look differently on the surface.
Because you think that everything's portrayed on the media, what we see, that it is moving on, but I guess you're living in that day to day and you're not seeing much change at all.
I mean, if you look at social media, for example, and that's the world that young people inhabit, and it'll look really differently to my Instagram or what have you. The perception of what it should mean to be female and to look female and to act a certain way, it's very limited, really. We've got huge body image pressures on young people, all young people, particularly girls and young women. Mental health issues are way worse for girls in many respects, however that can be to do with underreporting from boys as well. We're seeing a huge amount of kind of violence between girls and from girls. So that kind of aggressive, the kind of outpouring of girls' feelings actually is now coming across in a really aggressive way, which probably we didn't see as much of pre-COVID.
Is that at a certain age as well, Nikki? Is it?
I think, a lot of this for me, I think a lot of it ramps up between, the jump from primary to secondary. Kids go from being in that really safe, nurturing environment where they have a relationship with teacher to this space where they're unknown, they're not seen.
Oh, God, it's really worrying for me. I just put my hands on my face and going, oh, my goodness, I've got all this to come. Oh, gosh.
And there's lots of positives, too.
I know. You know, hopefully by then, Nikki, you'll have changed the world.
Be
And
fine. Yeah, yeah.
you'll be running for Prime Minister and everybody will be listening to you.
Sure.
No
Oh my
pressure, no
gosh, no,
pressure.
I wouldn't touch that role with a
Just
barge
for
pole,
my
but
children, yeah.
oh.
There's oh gosh, it's still the whole stigma of so
Yeah.
much that unfortunately we know about. And funny enough, I was just editing another podcast before this, lovely Jo that came on. She'll be going out in the next couple of weeks, but her podcast is about body image and body confidence and how the stigma around shaming bodies is has an
Yeah.
impact. So it's all relative, you know. And Jo is, I think she's a bit older than me. I think
Yeah.
she's in her 40s, you know, and it still goes on now. You
Massively.
think, oh my goodness, you know, what can we do to be these change makers? What have we got to do? Do you think it's a lot more, what's the right word? I don't know. Do you think social media, do you think the way the world is now sort of promotes a lot of this a lot more?
In an answer, yes, because you know it's just so immediate, it's so in our kids' faces, and it's constant, you know. And when we were young, we
Constant.
could go home and get away from whatever was happening, you know, and
Yes.
you wouldn't have much exposure to the outside world,
Yeah, so
which is,
true.
you know, that's a negative and a positive, isn't it? Because social
Absolutely.
media also does loads of positive things. So,
Yes.
but I think it just the volume of it,
Yeah, Nikki.
and even though, you know, our kids know that these images, for example, are airbrushed and filtered and altered, and like we know when we look at a photo, but actually you still feel the way that you feel when you look at it, even though you might know that it's not accurate.
You're right there. And I think the word then that's just really stuck with me is the constant. It's
Yeah.
constant. You
Yeah.
you know, you can choose to get away from it, but actually the reality is it's just there all
Yeah.
the time, isn't it? There's no getting away from it. And it took me back then when you said about, you know, when we were younger, we'd just you know, go home and get away from the world. And yeah, you said there's negatives, but God, I remember just coming in from school, you know, I would turn on the TV. I would watch Neighbours,
Yeah.
you know, watch Home and Away,
Gonna be
or
Blue Peter.
you know, so on. And before that was Fun House. Like that was one of my favourite things. Always wanted to go on Fun House. You know, now these days people just go
Yeah.
home and go straight on their mobiles. And I, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but just the difference. But interestingly, you know, it was still going on when we were younger.
Yeah.
It's just now portrayed. I think the word constant
Yeah.
is just there's so much more there.
And also, you know, this tech has been, well, when it hasn't been designed for kids, it never
No,
was. But
no.
also, it's designed to be addictive, right? That's why you get the endless scrolling. You know, it used to
Yeah.
be that when you would scroll through, say, Facebook, it would tell you, you're all caught up now, you've seen everything.
Oh,
And
God,
now, do you remember that?
yeah.
Right.
I haven't been on Facebook for about, well, a long time, but
You haven't missed
yes.
anything, but yeah.
No.
But you know, that
Gee.
idea of you've
There's
seen
nothing
what's
else.
new. Whereas now, you know, somebody developed that algorithm where it just keeps giving you
Keeps
more and
going.
more. And so
Gosh,
it's,
that's really, that's just stuck with me. Yeah, it's like you've caught up. Okay, great. I'll put the phone down. There's nothing else to
Done.
see.
Right.
Nothing else to see here. Wow. Okay. Gee
Yeah.
whiz, isn't it? And it's like you said, though, it's not a bad thing. And I think it can be amazing for businesses, for people,
Sure.
for, you know, social, you know, but actually there's still so much to do. Oh my goodness, I could feel like I could talk to you for weeks on this. Oh my goodness. Right, so let's talk a bit about how you look after you, Nikki. So this is what I talk about with my guests, because you've got this passion project, the Spark, you've got the Girl Lab, you've got loads of other things going on as well. How do you look after you in all of this?
I mean, gosh, I have to be honest. I do struggle with this because I work for myself, obviously. I work from home. It's raining a lot.
And we don't like the rain, as we
We don't like the
said.
rain. So it is very easy to just keep working. There's always something on that to-do list, isn't there? And just like, you know, before you know it, the room is dark. You've missed your window of actually going outside that this day. And I guess because now I don't, you know, I used to work for an organization where I had colleagues, you go to the office every day, and I don't have that anymore. So I have to be quite strict with myself to say, switch off now, go for a walk, you know, do something else, or scheduling coffee meetings with people.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, it's finding people who are willing to do that, because everybody's so busy that they'll just say, oh, for sure, like, we'll just have a Zoom meeting. It's like, please, meet me in real life.
I'm really surprised you just said that, because I think most people, especially self-employed people, are like, that's great, let's go, let's go and have a coffee. Yes,
I guess,
when?
Yeah.
You're ready now?
People who are self-employed maybe are
more
willing.
You're asking the wrong people.
Yeah, I am.
And I think don't give it an option to say, let's have a Zoom. You know, I'm going to be at this place at this time. Do you want to come and meet me there?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, though, before I started recording this, a lady booked a chat with me. So just through my Calendly, booked it in. She said, I just wanted to meet you. I've listened to some of your podcasts. I follow you on LinkedIn. She said, I just wanted to have a chat and have a cuppa with you. And I was like, all right, yeah. And I thought, well, you know, okay, why not? And we had a really nice chat. There was no sales involved. She was up in Manchester, so it's not as if we could have just popped to have a coffee.
Yeah.
And that was actually just really nice. So if you can't physically get outside, I recommend just booking in a coffee.
You're so right. Because otherwise
somebody.
It's really isolating, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you have
it is.
To like, you've got to force yourself, because nobody else is going to say, you know, put the laptop away, go and take some time out. So I find that quite difficult. If I'm honest.
Do you think, like, when you were working for an organization as well, were you very strict, or not strict, but you had times you had to work in? So say you were in a 9-to-5 job, do you try and stick to that now?
I'm realizing that I'm my own worst enemy, because actually, I mean, that my last sort of paid role, and I haven't done many over the years, because I realize I'm a bit unemployable, because I'm used to working for myself. So it's quite a different dynamic, isn't it? But obviously I had a 9-to-5, but it would end up being more like 8-to-8 or something. And I think it's tricky, isn't it? When you're passionate about something and you want to give your all to it, then it's quite easy to do that. And the people who give energy to something are the ones that get, you know, get more out of it, but also get more put onto their plate sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, you know, that part of the reason why I had to quit that job is because I was close to just falling into a heap, because it was
burnout.
Too much.
Much. Yeah. And this is part of the podcast name, isn't it? It's avoiding that burnout. And it's so easy to do. And I would just say, like, a top tip from me is, even though it's bloody raining outside and it is miserable, like, just put the laptop down, go outside, change your environment. We said about meetings,
so important.
Just change that environment if you can. I really like working in coffee shops. I know it depends on what you're doing as well.
For sure.
Depends on what you're working on, but I actually quite like just to have that kind of hustle and bustle around me, so it feels like I'm in there, like, hustle and bustle conversations, but I'm still on my own.
But actually, you end up having a conversation with the person next to you sometimes, or a little chat with somebody. It's that human contact, isn't it?
It's so important.
And I think COVID probably showed us that in a really quick way.
Absolutely,
how important that was.
Absolutely. Okay, so what direction are you heading in, Nikki, with everything you do?
Well, it feels like a bit of a squiggly line, to be honest, because and actually, maybe I'm okay with that, because I used to think it was a very sort of straight vertical line where I'm gonna do this in my 5-year plan, and then you know, life,
does it matter?
Isn't it? So I'm trying to learn to get used to the ups and downs and the kind of squiggly line of it, and to be led more by my joy and what I love to do. I think that is so important, isn't it? Because we only get so long on this planet. Why spend so much time doing things we hate?
Oh my goodness.
It's not always possible, but I can find pockets of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a really good friend of mine, Amy Bateman. She's been on the podcast, first series, and one of her things is, I'm going to get it wrong now, she's going to kill me, but it's something along the lines of, why would you stay in a job that you absolutely hate? Life's too short, or something like that. It's much better. But
Get the
yeah,
gist,
you'll get the
100%.
gist. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Okay, so I was going to ask you a question. I've gone off one. Yeah, because we were talking about one of the reasons that our mutual connection connected us was because you were thinking about doing a podcast. And I said, well, yeah, I'll tell you, it's brilliant. And this is the bit I absolutely love, is the chats. And but I do all the editing and everything myself. I just, it's
A lot of
hard.
work.
It's
Yeah.
really hard. It's really hard. And it's like, this is kind of my passion project as well. And I think I've got a little bit of business from it, but nothing massive, because it's something I love doing. But I've really got to be mindful of, oh my goodness, all the extras that come with it. And just tell the audience where you've been this weekend or last weekend.
Oh gosh, well I booked myself onto a course to learn how to create podcasts in London. So I booked it just after Christmas. You know, when you've got that new year kind of,
Yeah, what can
oh,
I
it's
do?
January, I need some resolutions. What the heck am I going to do? So I booked myself onto this course and had a lovely day out. Like the lunch was excellent. Turns out making podcasts is quite technical, and
Can
it's
be,
quite a lot
yeah.
of work involved.
It can
So,
be,
you know,
yeah.
watch this space,
Watch this
because
space.
it's TBC, to be honest.
Hilarious, hilarious. Well, I
Yeah.
did say, well, if nothing else, you had a lovely
I
time.
did.
Nice lunch in London,
Yeah,
anyway.
for sure.
So, okay. Couple more questions for me. What is your top tip for anyone that is thinking of starting a passion project?
I would say my top tip, I want to say just go for it and
Nice.
enjoy the process and
Nice.
don't put too many expectations on it,
Yeah.
because the minute you say, well, it's got to look like this, or looking at other people on social media who have been doing it for 10 years and thinking,
Yeah.
why am I not there yet? That's really
Why?
weird.
Yeah. Shiny. Yeah. What I should be doing, I should be following them. And no.
Yeah. My main tip though, and I think, I don't know if this is a bit of a random one, but actually for me, this really works, is to not talk about it to too many people too soon. So I
Okay.
think, you know, when you get
Yeah.
excited about something and the
Yeah.
momentum is building in you, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then you start telling, like, you know, your nan or
Yeah.
your mother's neighbor or something like
Neighbors.
that. But because you haven't had much time yet, you haven't articulated it properly in your own mind. It's still like a bit fledgling as an idea. And so it doesn't come across properly to other people. And the
Yeah.
reaction then you get is, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Or you couldn't make money for
Yeah.
that. And it just takes the wind out of your sails too
Oh my
quickly.
goodness, that's such a good tip.
So I
Yeah.
think just waiting, let it build its own momentum in you. Like one of the things I do a lot is journal, and I
Okay.
not every day, but when I can, it's just having that
Yeah.
like self-reflection time and writing down
Yeah.
my ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've noticed now, I've gone back and looked at journals from like years ago now, and the idea is the same, really. I keep coming back to it in the same, in slightly different ways, the same idea. And
Yeah.
it's only now that I feel, okay, now is the time
Now it's
to
time.
share it.
Yeah. That's
So
that
that's my
is
tip.
a brilliant tip. Absolutely brilliant. I love that, because it's so true. And if somebody doesn't really get it, or you're not fully like formed as such yet, then somebody will go, oh, and it will just make you think, I'm not doing it then. I'm not doing
For
it. Or
sure,
I'll
yeah.
hide away. So I love that. Or even if it's just telling maybe, one or two people, like maybe if you've got a mentor or a close
Yeah.
friend that you know is going to be a cheerleader. Just so you've kind of put it out there, because the other
Yeah.
thing is, sometimes if you don't talk about it, or if you
Right.
don't start, then you might not ever start it.
Yeah. So finding the
Yeah.
right people, you're so right. So
Yeah.
not telling, you know, all and sundry, and making
Yeah.
sure we choose that person. But also, you know, you
Absolutely.
could caveat it and say, look, this is something that's really new. I
Yeah.
don't really need a lot of ideas at the moment, or criticism, or constructive
No.
criticism. I don't need that.
I'm just verbal diarrhea in it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I need. Just stand there.
Just gonna get it out there. I love that. I'm terrible for doing that. I'll tell everyone about everything and then go, oh shit, I've actually got to do this now. I've got to follow through. Damn.
That could be good too, because otherwise, yeah, that
Makes me
accountability,
accountable.
for
Yeah, it makes
sure.
me accountable. I love that. Oh, Nikki, it's been fantastic to talk to you, and I know the listeners will get so much inspiration. And just thinking about that, the change maker that we started the conversation on, about what can we do, those little changes to make a big difference. final question from me today is, if you had to choose, what would be your favourite cake?
Oh my gosh, that's the most difficult question you've asked me. Should have pre-warned me about that. I mean, I'm tempted to say like carrot cakes, it's healthy, but
no, your face and your voice isn't vibing that.
Carrot
No,
cakes.
I'm not taking
No.
that. No.
Do you know what I'm gonna choose? I'm gonna
Go
choose
on.
A really good lemon drizzle because it makes me think of summer.
Makes
And
you
I can,
and
you know.
summer needs to come now,
Oh, come
right?
on,
Summer
summer.
needs to come.
And being in Italy and having some limoncello or something like that. Yeah.
God, yeah, can we go? Can we go? Can we go now? That's hilarious. I love that. Amazing. Right, Nikki, you've been an absolute dream.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
If people are interested in finding out a bit more about what you do, where can we find you? Where's the best place?
So on social media, I'm Nikki Giant, Nikki, Giant as in tall person. Turns out there's no other Nikki Giants out there, so that's
Oh,
quite
is there not?
useful.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't
Yeah.
think so. And then you can check out the Spark Movement at thesparkmovement.com, or it's at Lighter Spark on social media.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much. Thank you,
Thank
Nikki.
you. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. As always, my leaving message to you is remember to do the one thing that makes you feel fabulous. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review.